first reading is from the second book of Kings. A man from Baal Shalisha bringing food from the first fruits to Elisha, the man of God, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elisha said, "Give it to the people and let them eat." But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 people?" So he repeated, "Give it to the people and let them eat, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." He set it before them, they ate and had some left, according to the word of the Lord. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.
God's word is the foundation of Lutheran witness in the world. When I say God's word, the first thing that probably pops into your mind is the Bible. But the Bible alone is not God's word. God's word, first and foremost, is the one who wears our flesh in Jesus Christ. This one, who is God's word, comes to us through the published word of the Bible and ministers to us through the proclaimed word of judgment and promise. God's word is the foundation of the world. For as John's gospel says, all things came into being through God's word. It is by this same word that the men of God spoke in olden days when the house of Israel was divided between two competing kingdoms. At that time, the prophets of God worked in guilds. They were revered as mouthpieces of God, speaking both judgments and promises in God's name to the children of Israel. Elisha was such a prophet, and people like the man from Baal Shalisha would seek him out to consult God whenever they needed guidance. Usually, they would bring a gift of some kind, something to pay the prophet for his services. So it is that the man from Baal Shalisha brought 20 loaves of barley bread and fresh ears of grain to Elisha. When Elisha received his payment, he turned to his chief servant and said, "Give it to the people and let them eat." Now, there were around 100 men in Elisha's guild, along with their wives and their children. Imagine that the barley loaves were as big as this loaf right here. 20 of these loaves would not be nearly enough food for 100 men plus their wives and children. For even if you divided this loaf into 5 equal pieces, you would get nothing bigger than the size of what you might have at the restaurant as an appetizer. Certainly not enough for a dinner. Elisha was proposing that his servant should give so small a piece of bread to what wouldn't even feed 100 men, and their wives and their children would go hungry. Elisha's command fell heavily upon his servant, who did not lift a foot. "How can I set this before 100 people?" his servant asked. He would undoubtedly come under his master's judgment, because his master was commanding the impossible. Commands are heavy by nature, and they create the possibility of judgment. They place a demand upon the hearer, and they compel obedience through threats of punishment. A husband and wife are out to dinner. She tells him to stop spending money on things that they don't need, and they get into an argument. Things escalate until one of them shuts down, freezing the other out. A mother tells her son to clean his room. He refuses. She threatens to take away his video games for a week unless he does what he is told. If the command is not obeyed, judgment is passed and the consequences follow. Now, commands are not always bad things. They restrain evil in the world, and they make it possible for all of us to live together. But they become dangerous when the hearer does not have the resources to obey. A woman buried under a mountain of credit card debt receives a final demand from the bank before they foreclose on her mortgage. A veteran returns home from the service and is unable to meet the demands of civilian life after experiencing the horrors of war. A Muslim refugee flees her war-torn homeland, only to be turned away at the border. A father of two is stopped in a routine traffic stop, only to be deported without his family because of a problem with his visa. The demand to repay the loan, to move on with life, to return home, or to leave loved ones behind falls heavily on the one who hears it. It outweighs the hearer's resources to do what is commanded and gives the hearer over to despair. No commands fall more heavily or are more dangerous than the commands of God. God demands righteousness from sinners and obedience from a stiff-necked and stubborn world. Failure to meet God's demands results in death. And all of us have failed. The Word of God brings us face to face with our own limitations, and He proclaims God's judgment against us. If we could even begin to fathom our own situation, we would be driven to despair. God requires something of us that we do not on our own have the resources to give. Elisha's servant knew that he did not have the resources to do what the man of God commanded. He could not have helped but feel despair when he considered the hopelessness of his own situation. He waited for his master to respond. Would the prophet's words drip with disappointment? Would they be filled with bitterness and cursing? Would they pierce his heart with condemnation? But when the man of God opened his mouth, the words that came out were neither harsh nor critical. They were the sweet words of promise. Promises are different than commands because a promise demands nothing from the one who hears it. There is no possibility of the hearer of a promise to come under judgment because the burden of the promise does not rest on the one who hears it. The burden of a promise rests on the one who makes the promise. On his own, Elisha's servant did not have enough bread to distribute even among 100 people. By promising that everyone would eat and have some left over, God took responsibility for what would happen next. God would do with Elisha's servant and his limited resources could not. God would fulfill the demands of the command and feed well over 100 people with nothing but 20 loaves of barley bread. The servant's heart clutched God's word of promise through faith. He joyfully went about distributing too little bread to too many people, work that moments before had filled him with the terror of judgment. Everyone ate, and they even had some left, just as God promised. God's word did not abandon Elisha's servant to judgment. Instead, God's word made Elisha's servant able to stand even under the weight of such an impossible command. God's word of promise comes to us in human flesh and blood through our Lord Jesus. For your sake and for mine, he takes on the demands of everything that God commands. In his righteousness, he loved God and he loved all people to the end. He was obedient, even when that obedience led him to suffer death on a God-forsaken cross. Even though he died according to his human nature and descended into hell according to his divine nature, God's word of promise never failed. 3 days later, he burst forth from the silence of the tomb to fill the earth so that every heart might cling to him and know salvation. The woman threatened with foreclosure stands on God's promise and is able to endure. The wounded veteran stands on God's promise and receives the soul-healing forgiveness that eludes him. The Muslim refugee stands on God's promise, finding hope that the power of death which has devastated her homeland has been broken. The man faced with deportation stands on God's promise and takes courage, knowing that he and his family belong to a heavenly kingdom that has no borders. God's word of promise has given you everything that you need to feed the hungry. How will you share what you have received this week? Who among your family, your friends, or your neighbors needs a word of encouragement? Who needs to be reassured of God's love? Who needs a word of forgiveness? Who needs a hand to stand up? A relationship built on God's word of promise is full of life and blessing. I suspect that this is why Lutheran witness in the world relies so heavily upon God's word. Without the word made flesh, we would have no hope. Without the published word, we would have no knowledge of the promise. Without the proclaimed word, we would not be healed. So stand up, rejoice. God's word goes with you this week.